If you and I are going to be born again, there is a new, unique way in which the Holy Spirit will apply the Word of God to our lives. The Word of God is so important and so valuable, and you've heard me say it so many times, we must be careful not to allow anything to squeeze the Word of God out of our lives or out of our ministries. We must be careful not to allow Satan to squeeze out God's Word. God's Word is what gives to us a sense of God's presence. God's Word is what brings to us spiritual enrichment and growth. Therefore, we just cannot ignore God's Word. In many ministries, they are squeezing out God's Word and allowing it to be squeezed out all over this country. Priorities are becoming other things: music, programs, counseling sessions, entertaining ministries, individuals gathering together just to feel comfortable. Counseling today is being done in a variety of, yes, even churches. Psychological methods being used to make people feel good about themselves. And many believers who do not understand the seriousness and the danger of this are allowing it to happen. The basis of this message is the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63, this is what we read, and it's Christ speaking. He says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Here we learn that what is true concerning the Word of God, and that is that the Word of God is spirit and the Word of God is life. There's no other book in this world like the Bible. Men can write, but what they write is physical. What they write is fleshy. But when God gives to us His Word, it is spiritual. The Word of God is far greater and far deeper, far more full of light than anything we can receive from any book that we had ever read. This first lesson is designed to express to you that God's Word is life. To touch the Word of God is to touch life. It's interesting to point out to you Romans 10, verse 17, and you know it well. For we read there, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." It's difficult to comprehend this, but clearly what is being expressed here is that the more we read, the more we hear the Word of God, the greater is our faith. You will meet people in your families, you will meet people at work, and they will express, "I have no faith." But the Word says, "Faith cometh hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." In other words, the lack of faith today can be associated with the lack of reading the Word of God. Reading the Word of God, hearing the word of God preached, hearing the word of God taught increases our faith. Now, the more we read, the greater becomes our faith. There's another wonderful verse that draws our attention in regards to the word of God, and that's found in 1 Peter 2:2. In 1 Peter 2:2, there we read, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere or pure milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Here we find that not only does the word of God increase our faith, but the word of God is able to cause you and I to grow. What can keep a believer from growing? The absence of the word of God in his life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it reads this, "Being born again, not of corruptible or perishable, but of the incorruptible, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Now that's in 1 Peter 1:23. Please note this, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. As I've already said, there's no other book like the word of God. I can pick up a book that man has written, and I can understand it. I can mentally grasp it. But when it comes to the word of God, I cannot simply pick it up and grasp it with my mind. The word of God is far deeper and far richer than that. When it comes to what man has written, I can use my mind and understand what man has written. But when it comes to the word of God, I must use my spirit. So every time you and I, as the Lord's children, set aside time for our devotions, every time a pastor coordinates the teaching or the preaching of the word of God, he must rely on the use of his spirit, not just his mind. If I just use my mind, I can get the facts, I can get the dates, I can get the words, I can get the stories, but I cannot get the living part of God's word. You say there are plenty of non-Christians who read the word of God, and when you talk to them, you learn that, yes, they read the word of God, and they don't often get much out of it. They don't understand it. They can't perceive everything that's being presented. The reason for all of that is the lack of the use of their spirit connecting to the spirit of God's word. It's in Hebrews 4:12, and I know I'm giving you a lot of verses, and if you write them down, you can look at them sometime. But Hebrews 4:12, and some of you could quote it, "For the word of God is quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, if we were teaching a Sunday school class, we would intricately divide this and pull it together. But overall, I just want you to see the word of God is quick, which means the word of God is alive. The reason the word of God is powerful, the reason it's sharper, the reason the word of God is even a discerner of my thoughts and the intentions of my heart is because the word of God is alive. The world does not understand this. To the world, the Bible is just a book been put together by men with their thoughts and their ideas. But to you and I, who have received Christ, who have met Him, to us, the Word of God is a living book. It refreshes us. It enriches us. It strengthens us. It enriches our lives in a special way. God's book is a living book, and anything that man makes, anything that man writes, it's not a living book. And so we want to look to God to bless us with His living book. How is it that God's work, that God's word, that His Bible is a living book? Well, you're all familiar with Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and you've seen me give this before. To most of you, this is not new, but to some of you, it might be. We remember in Genesis 2, 7, then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul when God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. What gave life to man was the breath of God. How does this compare to the Word of God? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we read this: all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word God breathed in Genesis, the word God breathed into man's nostrils and man became a living soul, is basically the same word used when it came to the Word of God. As God's breath made man come alive, so God's breath makes the Word of God come alive. All Scripture is God-breathed, and because it is, it's a living book. And because it is, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why is it that I can pick up God's Word and trust it? Because it is God's breath, God's breath. Now, men in this world can't understand that. That's why they don't accept the Word of God. They don't understand how it is that something that had been written so many years ago could be trusted. The reason God's Word can be trusted is God's Word is inspired. It is God-breathed. And non-believers can't accept that. They can't comprehend it. Now, there's something else about God's Word. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became alive. Before the breath of God, man was not alive. God breathed into the Word of God, then the Word of God became alive in a way which I cannot comprehend or even be able to express to you. But there's another phrase which is used in the Word of God, which is very important, and it is the word revelation. You see, inspiration is what makes the Word of God dependable. I can lean on, trust in, have confidence in the Word of God for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in my life because it's inspired of God, because it has been blessed by His presence and safeguarded. But there's another word, and that word is revelation. And this word, revelation, might also refer to inspiration. It also refers to a breathing upon the word, but guess what? This refers to breathing upon the word of God a second time. You see, I have the inspired word of God, and because I do, I can trust it. I can pattern my life after it. I can trust it in such a way I can have confidence in living my life. But when it comes to my devotions, when it comes to our gathering together, what I need is revelation. In other words, I need God to breathe on His word a second time. And when God breathes on His word a second time, be it in my devotions, be it in my preaching or my teaching, we get a depth that goes beyond the words, that goes beyond the stories, that goes beyond the information contained. Inspiration tells me I can trust God's word. Revelation tells me I have been touched by God's living book in my devotional life and in the message that's been preached, in the teaching lesson that I have learned. It is God breathed. It is God inspired. So what should we do as believers when I need to come before Him, when I need a special word from Him, when I need special guidance? I ask, Lord, this is your inspired word of God. It is a living book. Would you breathe on it again today for me so that I can be touched, so that I can be enriched, so I can have a sense of your presence? You see, wherever God's genuine word is, there is the presence of Christ. In the beginning was the Word. This is a living book. And God, by His Spirit, can breathe upon it again and again and again, and therefore touch my heart again and again and again. But if all I ever have confidence in is it being inspired, I miss that intricate devotional time with Him when He breathes upon it and gives me just exactly what I need. Today, in churches, today, in Bible colleges, if you don't understand that God's book is a living book, you can spend hours, you can spend years in obtaining God's word mentally without ever grasping it spiritually. You can waste your life on studying it without being touched by it. The first part of this message is to help you to realize it's a living book. And because it is, it's worthy, it's safeguarded, we can trust it, and I need God to bless it a second time. We must be careful not to read it as man would read a book. It'll get boring to you so quickly. But if you read it as a book from God that is given to us by the breath of God, your life and your devotional life will never be the same. The second lesson next week will be on the fact that God's word is spirit. And I pray that you'll be praying that God will touch us with the spirit of His word. Shall we pray? Dear Father, There is just so much that can be done when it comes to your word. We can study the word to death by the use of our own minds. We can see all the stories, all of the dates, all of the information, and we can gain all the knowledge and miss the living book. Please, I pray, help us to realize your Bible is a living book, that it has an inward and an outward shell. And we must come into the inward part of your word to be enriched and filled by your Spirit. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.